Soul Sister Radio.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support.
family. There's too much hate in the world today. I think if we all made an effort to love one another instead of hate one another, we might be able to make this world a happier place to live. Think about it, y'all. Think about it long and hard. And don't just sit there on your butts doing nothing with yourselves.
Get up off your legs. Get up, break your love around.
Welcome to Soul Sister Thursday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you to Women on the Edge with Becky Ryan. Are you there, my beautiful friend?
Yes, I am. How are you doing?
We are good. Would you like to introduce yourself to our audience? We have a whole bunch of brand new listeners, so I want them to know exactly who you are and what this show is all about.
Well, my name is Becky Ryan, and I've been dealing with online search is what we call it, for over 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm basically an early pioneer, and I help people during all of the great 15 years of constantly evolving changes online, get them marketed, help them out with reputation, and help people create an action plan.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can make money online, or they can promote their awareness, they can build their voice. And that's something that's really important for Soul Sister Radio and for many of the people that have words of wisdom that they would like to get out there. We're here today to tell people about some cool tools, tell them maybe about tools they've heard about and how to go a little bit deeper, so they can cast their voice out farther. With some of the sites having millions of people, the ability to connect globally is instantaneous.
That is very, very true. I'm going to stop you real quick because I want to let our audience know that we are broadcasting live from the Always In Bed and Breakfast here in beautiful San Clemente, California. And I wanted to thank Frida for partnering up with this incredible enterprise here. And I just want to send out a special thank you. And it is absolutely the most amazing, cute little space here in San Clemente. So I just wanted to let everybody know. And before we came on to the show, talking about social media and being able to raise our voice and really put it out there, I'm going to forward to you what somebody started commenting on a posting that I made, and it just happened 5 minutes before we came online. And Becky, I'm telling you, you know your trigger the other day? Rock on, honey. We all watch the triggers. And this man, I mean, if I wanted to dance with this devil, I would just jump right into it. And I just basically cut him off and blocked him, and who needs that? But it's interesting that how quickly social media is making either our voices louder or people trying to silence us quickly. So,
well, and there's some positives on negative reputation.
Okay. Oh, tell me.
We can go into one, but do you want to explain a little bit about what started this? A little friendly?
Sure. Okay. I'll explain to you. We are going into April, which is Child Abuse and Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So today, there was a posting that somebody had posted, and it was talking about child sexual abuse and how when you finally start talking about it, it is like that song, The Impossible Dream. Remember that song from Man from La Mancha?
No, not really.
Okay, it goes like this. To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow that star, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for this, that one man, scorned and covered with scars, still strove with his one last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable star. Now, I wrote this. I said, for you, even if you've remained silent, please know you are not alone. One in three of us are affected by this before we turn 18. And those who are speaking out are truly getting louder and smarter than the Goliath we are up against. Continue to dream the impossible dream, knowing that all it takes is the courage and five smooth stones to knock out the giants that claim to stand before you. God is bigger and his promises are real. Now, the response I got back from this person, I'm going to forward it to you now. And I'm telling you, Becky, like I said.
Oh, I'm on your page.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And
well,
I'm going, wow. You know, like when it comes down to people with causes, political, religion, these are things that stomp on people's nerves, whether they've been on one side or another. And to put this out here, you do get feedback really quick because either you're rubbing with the grain or you're rubbing against it. There's really no in between.
Oh, yeah. Well, I triggered this guy. I don't know what's wrong with him, but you're going to see what my first response to him was. So, and I didn't even, the second email's on the bottom, the first one's on the top, and, you know, it's interesting. So, what do you think about people who use social media to say bad things about people like us who want to raise the volume?
Well, let's go back to television and radio. We've had people like Howard Stern's.
Yes.
And they do tend to jump on a negative. There's a lot of people out here who probably enjoy TMZ. And
okay.
Again,
oh, gosh.
it really is negative. It's usually going after people's volatile moments. It might be newsworthy, but it's usually jumping on the negative aspects of somebody's life more than the positive. They just donated to this charity. They're building a new church. They donated to the homeless. It might be there on TMZ, but their viewers come in for negative.
Mm-hmm.
And there are positive shows. And right now, I'm blanking. Other than church, what can you think of as positive? Sesame Street. I'm Barney. I don't know.
I don't watch TV because there's too much negative. So.
I mean, like, even when we go with, like, I was, you know, while I was going through it to give a good comparison, I was like, Oprah Winfrey, no. Dr. Phil, not a good one.
Yeah.
So we have PBS to thank.
Yeah, exactly. And that's about it. The rest of it is just terrible. So anyway, what are we going to teach our audience? Today we have.
If we go into positive, wait, you were touching on something very good.
Okay.
When we go into something positive, people have to have a passion for it. There has to be a reason. They were connected. They read the message, and it's like joining a clique, and they're in a group, and they're ready to go and help other people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be a smaller majority because they're going in and saying, I want to be stronger, I want to be smarter, and I want to help others. And I want to spread this. I want to get a big kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the negative, and if you remember, there was psychology professionals going out there and talking about like the Roseanne Barr show way back in its day about how negative it was. It was such a dysfunctional family. But the viewership kept going up.
Right.
Why? People watch negative so they can feel more positive about themselves. Or we might say that they watch some negative because it's equal to who they are.
Right.
And then there's another aspect is that it does release like endorphins within the brain. And it makes people think of funny things. They feel that they have a different life. So when we have something that we're going out there for a better reach, for an awareness, going and putting something out there controversial with a little bit of shock and awe will allow more people to engage. If you just go and say, I love you, 12 of your friends will like that post. If you go in there and you say something impactful, some people might even be afraid to go, is this politically correct, to join in. You say something that is either positive or negative, and it's trending socially, like sexual abuse. That would be something either people are absolutely against or don't want to say anything about it or believe that it never happened. You've just got an awareness. You've got to feel the fire. Oh, go ahead. Poor thing.
It's actually, we have a special guest here, but she doesn't want to introduce herself this time. But we're blessed to have an actual live in-studio guest with us. So if she decides to say hello, I'll let you know.
Okay. I'm like, is it Ernie and Bert? No, those are boys. But to go back to putting out good and bad, remember, this is something like TV. You're going to have to have, you're going to have to come up with different things. You're going to have to add humor. You're going to have to add the facts. You're going to have to go and do the analytics and start with a strategy and focus on the words. Build up a base that will always like it and share it. And that gets me into Twitter. And can I tell them a little bit about what happened to you this week?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to lead up to it. Okay, so last week we were all on Twitter. And I'm actually, I went ahead and bought some followers. I paid $49 for this. We're going to be able to get a discount from four if this works out. So we're going to see, I'm looking at the people. This is only my second day. So I don't want to go and tell everybody about it until we see how good, bad, and how my clout score is. If it does work out, we'll give you all of the four listeners 20% off to try it out. If it's bad, I'm going to do a lot of deleting and need a lot of people to like me later. But it's about the followers. And you and I had spoke about it, and we're looking at our clout. We're looking at how many posts, how many times we're engaging. And Miss Marie took my advice on steroids. And can you tell them what happened?
Well, we got blocked.
You were in Twitter jail? Twitter timeout?
I was in Facebook jail, and she was in Twitter jail. But she was also in Facebook jail. And I was in Facebook jail for 10 days. They blocked me from adding people and messaging people. And so I got in trouble for liking people.
How do you like being an outlaw?
I know.
On a social network.
Isn't that incredible? That's pretty incredible.
Well, the only thing I did find out, Twitter has an algorithm built in. Depending on how many people you're following currently, they won't allow you to ask to follow other people more than 20%. Of your current follower base.
Okay.
And they believe that if all of a sudden you also have auto messages. Another thing I found interesting is you cannot unfollow more than 20% of your base.
What do you mean you can't unfollow?
If you went in and you were following them and say they started following you back and you decided, oh, these are cruddy, they're probably fake accounts, they never talk to us, it's not the right people. So you unfollow 20% of your base at one given time. You can also get into Twitter timeout, Twitter jail, whatever you want. So just I throw that one in because what Twitter deems somebody of authority is when they follow less people than are following them. So, for instance, you follow 200 friends, but there's 1,000 people watching all your tweets. They think you're an expert. So a lot of people will follow many people. Like, say they go and they follow 1,000 people, but only 200 of the people have liked you. Twitter says you are not an authority. You're just trying to learn, read. You don't even understand this. Nobody wants to listen to you compared to how many people you're following. So a lot of people will follow 1,000 people hoping to get those 200 and then drop all of those 1,000 people down to 50 so that they have 50 people they're following and 200 people following them back.
Oh, I get that. Okay.
Says, no.
Interesting. Okay.
But we kind of have to do that. And there is a way to go and build this naturally. But anybody that's been online, usually you start getting active because you have a deadline. You might have a deadline before a special event. You might have a deadline that evening because you want to go and talk to somebody else, but they can't read anything and you're trying to figure it out. You might be told from work that if you're not on Twitter, we have no presence.
Mm-hmm.
So for whatever reason it is, many of us that are trying to get an impact right away will follow more people than are following us.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happens that way. And then after a while, you're going to look at who were the people that engaged with you most. You're going to go and follow people like maybe the New York Times, Huffington Post, certain celebrities that might never follow you back.
Mm-hmm.
But that's more natural. But go on out there, guys. Start following the people. Please follow us. Tell us that you had heard us from Soul Sister Radio. And we'll be following you because we're all here to get us to the next level. And once we have everybody out of Twitter timeout, we'll follow you back.
I know.
And if it's too complicated, I'm really hoping that my $49 investment, and there was ones for, like, get free followers, and I checked on the reviews, I talked to some friends, and they said, don't do that one. Those mm-hmm. are low quality, and then you're going to have to block each one of them to unfollow mm-hmm. you because Twitter looks at it that you paid for them because they're such crap. So mm-hmm. I avoided that one. Then I found ones for like 14, and you'll get like 1,000 people in one night. I don't want to get into Twitter timeout because if I end up putting 1,000 in, then I'm in trouble. So to kind of keep this very open and transparent, I still want to have the authority, you know, and get enough people so that they think we're credible, even if I'm buying it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying this one, so. I'm thinking, what do you think, maybe in 2 weeks we can announce this?
Absolutely.
Unless it's really bad. And then we'll go ahead and if it's great so far, all 2 days, I think I've gotten 8 people, so I don't think it's that great. But we'll
okay.
see.
All right.
And, you know, they promised that 5 minutes, they promised that we can, okay, good. Well, we're going to be here for 5 minutes. To put in certain tags. So that's why I picked this, because it's supposed to be going after people I care about, that I'm interested in. So I look for online marketing. I do care about the charities and awareness. I'm also becoming more of a vegan, so I put in some health stuff. Not a true vegan, because I crave meat too much, and I already had some meat today. It's the third time in the past 6 weeks. But I'm trying, you know, each step. And then, of course, I'm following every one of the 4 people. And I'm looking at my industry to see what their tips are. So come on board. Let's get in there. Let's start supporting each other. Let's get the awareness out there. And let's grow together.
Amen.
And if you guys have somebody that's a tool or whatever, I'd love to hear your feedback. And you can even tell me how wrong it is that I'm buying followers and how fake it is.
You know, we'll have them all join us on your page, Women on the Edge. That's at facebook.com/, or is it backslash, whatever, / Women on the Edge. And they can ask you questions and everything there, right?
They absolutely can, and they can go and say how unnatural it is. I justified it because Saturday I'm getting my hair colored. I buy mascara. I buy makeup. A little bit of fake sometimes makes me look better. Just saying.
You know what? That really is a good analogy, okay? Would you like to say anything before we close?
We are getting a lineup of some professionals in my industry for online coming up in the next couple of weeks. One will be on Twitter. Other ones will be on Pinterest. We have a Facebook expert and local search. So if you guys care about any one of these or others, please reach out and tell us what your concerns are.
Okay, good. Anything else?
Anything else? PubCon is going on in New Orleans. Do you want to go? It's a whole bunch of geeks. PubCon. It's kind of like the place where I could probably buy Twitter followers. They probably created it. It's kind of our trade show of the geeks. We exchange tools. We talk about what we found out with search and what's making our websites rank faster and what doesn't. And, you know.
So it's just a whole bunch of geeks around, huh?
Wonderful, awesome brainiacs.
That's so you. That is so you.
Tell me, when are you? Did you get your account unpenalized yet?
No. Well, yes. Facebook is allowing me to communicate again. So at least I can now. What some of the hosts on our radio station here were wondering why their analytics went down this week, and they were concerned, and maybe their shows weren't doing really well. And I said it's because they blocked me, and I'm the one who's been going out there. So how important? And you have 1 minute to share. How important is it for people to really get on their Facebook pages and start sharing when they have a station like this that they want to promote?
You absolutely have to go and share it and get somebody else to share it, like it, comment on it. Each one of those within the algorithm counts as 10 points. If they retweet it and it gets shared and shared, each one of those starts multiplying, and the points really, it's more difficult than what I'm saying, but basically think about it that every day you want to make 100 points. So put out a couple posts and get it out there, because without it being out there, even if people weren't interested the first time, psychologically, they saw the name, they build the trust, you're building brand awareness.
Exactly.
After a while, people come in and they're hooked.
Well, Becky, thank you so much. Again, I
love
this show. Love what's going on, and we will go ahead and get ready for the next show, which is The Advocate with Susan Shengazar. It's going to be an amazing show. So if you can listen to it, I'm going to suggest that you stay on, because it's going to blow you away, especially with the path that we're all walking right now. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We are all here. We all are armored up, and we're ready to go. So, Becky, thank you so much for choosing Soul Sister Radio. And we will see you all next week on Women on the Edge on Soul Sister Thursday.
And I'm hanging on.
Hang on.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the Advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlor Limited.com.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gift, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Thursday. And this is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you to The Advocate with Susan Shingazar. Susan, go ahead and take it away.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to another week with The Advocate. My name is Susan Shengazar, and I am a domestic violence survivor and a survivor of sexual abuse. We're approaching National Domestic Sexual Abuse Month, and today I wanted to start us out with a blessing that I wanted to read for those listening in our audience. Each week, I either pray, read something, or give you some tools before we start out our show, because sometimes you listen to things you don't quite understand, and I want to prepare the way for you. So in Deuteronomy 28, blessings for obedience. If you fully obey the Lord, your God, and carefully follow all his commandments I give you today, the Lord, your God, will set you high above the nations on the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and occupy you if you obey the Lord your God. You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks, your baskets and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that your enemies rise up against you and will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and everything you put to your hand. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath. If you keep his commandments of the Lord, your God, and walk in his ways, then all the peoples on the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground. The land he swore to your forefathers to give you, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, and send rain on your land in season to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will pay attention to the commandments of the Lord, your God, will give you this day, and carefully follow them. You will always be at the top and never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commandments I give you this day, and the rest, or to the rest and the follow. It never follow other gods and serve them. So I wanted to read that to you and give you a blessing. This is Holy Week, and I wanted to give you something from the Word of God so that you have that to hang on to. And today on our show, I have another amazing woman. I say that every week, but God has given us one amazing woman after another, and he is not going to stop. He is joining hands around the earth, and he's bringing them to us. And so I bring them to you each week. This week, we have a woman who wrote the book called Mama Trauma, and she says in her press was released in a world constantly processing news about child abuse, both past and present, healing practitioner Dale Bach has a special message for those dealing with childhood trauma, whether physical, or sexual. Speak out and take responsibility for your own recovery, she says. Bach, a survivor of severe childhood abuse as a young adult, rape, is the author of the new book, Mama Trauma. If it's not one thing, it's your mother, she says. In it, she recounts her strange, eventful journey of violent abuse at the hands of her mother, and her own eventual healing and reconciliation with her abuser. This powerful and purposeful guide teaches specific methods and mindsets for healing, recovery of all types of abuse and trauma. We've all got mothers, and that means all of us, to one degree or another, may have had some form of mama trauma. Bach says of her own book, which she recently completed after 5 years of work, whether the problem took the form of violent actions or intense psychological assaults, as it did in her case, or was simply a response to getting that look from mom, there is something for each of us to work through. The good news is there's hope. If we can recover and thrive, then so can you. Mama trauma can be your guiding light towards recovery, so you can experience more freedom and happiness in your own life and bring your own peace and healing to the world, one person at a time. Dale Bach is an Agape licensed spiritual practitioner. She completed a master's program in spiritual psychology from the University of Santa Monica. She's also an advanced psych facilitator. Dale has traveled the world several times in search of deeper healing techniques she offers to clients from all walks of life. As a UC and Karuna Reiki master teacher, Dale has taught Reiki nationwide, founded many Reiki healing circles. As a two-time Emmy Award nominee, makeup artist to the stars, she found herself wanting to do more healing on the set than makeup. Dale's teachers include His Holiness Dalai Lama. I can't pronounce his name. I apologize. So I'll skip Reverend Michael Beckwith and more. Dale expertly creates positive energy that manifests timeless health and beauty. And so today on our show, I bring to you Dale Bach. Welcome to our show, Dale.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you for the lovely invitation. I'm thrilled to be here with you on The Advocate. Thank you.
And so I couldn't pronounce this name, Thich Nhat. I can't say name.
Oh, he's a Buddhist monk, and he's won several awards for helping mankind. Thich Nhat Hanh.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't go there.
Yeah.
So I apologize.
He's won the Peace Prize, so he's wonderful. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So you were in Hollywood with all the stars doing makeup, and God calls you to a higher calling.
Yeah, I did that for several decades, and I became the person on the set. If someone would have an asthma attack or somebody would be sick, they'd say, Dale, help this person. And I'd put on my hands, I'd do Reiki, and I'd pray, use essential oils, and all of a sudden they'd get better. It's like wonderful. It was great to watch. I just witnessed a lot of healings that way. So I became interested after doing that, you know, for about 10 years in the film industry, realizing that all of a sudden I was really, you know, people would be bringing me sick dogs. And all of a sudden I was doing a little more healing than makeup, and my other people wanted me to do makeup. So it was time to move on.
Wow. And so when was the last time you did your makeup work?
About a year ago in June. Well, last June. John Cleese is one of my favorite clients for over 20 years. So when he comes to town, he's in Europe now, he's not working much, but he always asked me because he called, he's the one who helped me. He said, you know, you're a healer. You need to do healing. And he told me that about 15 years ago. He said, you're a healer. You need to do healing. And so last time I saw him, I said, well, John, it's all your fault. Now I'm doing healing. In a
fun way. Praise God. He was pushing you.
Yeah.
So at that time, you were still doing makeup and you had written your book, or you were working on your book?
I was writing my book, right. I really haven't done too much makeup in the last 10 years. I mean,
okay.
A film I did was Indigo Children. It was I asked Spirit to give me a spiritual film to work on, and I did that. I worked with Tom Cruise on Vanilla Sky and you know, Spielberg. I worked on some wonderful films where I got to really hold the high watch. I did Bruce Willis's makeup for several films. And every time he, you know, I'd always be in prayer when we're quiet, because we're quiet a lot on set. So I would just, when he would do the stunts and everything, I would pray. And when I did TV shows, I would gather when I was head department, I would gather the hairdressers and makeup artists, and I'd say, let's hold hands and pray that everybody who sees this television program, we uplift them, and there's a healing taking place. So I did my ministry for lots of years in the film industry behind the scenes.
Wow, that is always so amazing to hear the stories that you don't see behind a movie or something, and the way God uses us in our everyday life. And I'm a firm believer that people shouldn't just sit on the pew. They need to get out and do what God's called them to do. And so for those who listen to the voice of God and reach out to others, I just commend you for doing that in your place of work, because it's not always accepted.
Oh,
and
no.
You've been on the front lines for a long time listening to your story as we've spoken. As a young girl, you were doing things knowing you would be working for God.
As a young girl, I've had some really wonderful, scary, amazing experiences.
Yes, you have. Why don't you give us one story that where God had saved you as a young girl? I know you have so many, as so do I, but why don't you give us, our listening audiences, a story of trauma that you were healed from and God helped you through?
Okay. This is one of my favorite stories. I was about 8 or 9 years old. I was living in Venice, Florida, and this was in the mid-50s, long time ago. And I was a very independent child and pretty much on my own. Mom and Dad weren't around too much, so I had no supervision. And I would watch this boy, Tommy, swim out every day. And he'd, you know, swim way out to the boats in Venice, Florida, the Gulf of Mexico. And he would jump on the boat and hang out with him for a while. And I thought, that looks like fun. So I said, when he came back one day, I said, Tommy, you were 16 years old and I was 8 or 9. I said, I want to do that. Can I go out there with you one day? And he said, no. You know, get lost, kid. So I watched him several times. I realized he never looked back. And I was extremely independent and determined. This has served me sometimes in my life, and sometimes it's got me all kinds of trouble. But so I swam out. I snuck out behind him one time. And when I was closer to the boat than the shore, I yelled and go, hi, Tommy, I'm here. And he had nothing. You know, he was really not happy. So I was invited on the boat reluctantly, because I was like a little pesky kid. The guys, there were two fishermen there. They were drinking and smoking and just having a time away from the kids and the wife, and I show up. And as I try to pull my body up on the boat, now this was a long swim, I was so tired, my upper body strength wasn't strong enough, and I cut my foot on the dull ladder. So this was a deep cut, and blood started squirting all over their boat. And they were not happy about it, and they gave me an old rag of kerosene, you know, to put on it, you know, to stop the bleeding. And then they were grumbling, go, oh, gee, we have to, you know, quit our fishing to bring a little girl back. And I was so, you know, feeling so embarrassed about it. I was standing up, and I said with my hands on my hips, saying, I'll swim back by myself. No worries. You know, I can do it. I didn't, you know, I'm sorry I'm bleeding on your boat. Just let me catch my breath. And they asked me once. They said, are you sure, little girl? You know, I said, I'm fine. I can do it. So after about 5 minutes it took me to catch my breath, then I jump off the water. Now, this is the Gulf of Mexico. And what I used to do at the Gulf of Mexico in the 50s, I would collect shark's teeth and sell them to the tourists. and I would get money for the dark teeth, and I would then get lots of candy. Well, on my swim back, not far, you know, maybe a 5-minute swim, and Tommy was kicked off the boat too. He's staying next to me because I could only kick with one leg. And he's looking back at me, and he sees the shark fin coming towards me.
Oh, my God, and you got a trail of blood.
Right. And every 2 years, I remember seeing on the front page some little child losing their leg from a shark because they were pretty brazen. They were very prolific in Venice, Florida, the Gulf of Mexico. And I remembered seeing the child without the leg. And when I saw the shark fin coming at me and I saw how far the shore was, and how far the boat was, I just did a strong prayer with my whole heart. And so I said, "Dear God, please take me quick. I don't want one leg. Just kill me. Just take me quick, or I promise if I live, I will do something really good for you. I promise I'll be a good girl." I was a Catholic at the time. And I couldn't look back anymore. And meanwhile, when he saw the shark fin come towards me, he yelled, "Oh, my God, shark frenzy. The shark's going to get you and me too. I can't help you. I'm sorry. I got to go." And he swam as fast as he could, like a bionic swimmer, as fast as he could to get away from me to get to shore. And all I saw was, and my prayer was constant, "Dear God, take me quick." I didn't look back. He was just, "Take me quick. I promise I'll be a good girl." And as I was approaching, I was expected any second to be eaten. And I was just, that prayer was so strong. When I got close to shore, there were a whole crowd of people yelling and going, whoa, and people came out to help me get in. And there was a dolphin, pushing that shark away. That shark was aiming to get me. And there was a dolphin that came, like I said, an angel, came, and he nodded and kept that shark away from me the whole way in. So I arrived safely on the shore. So at that point, I said, "Okay, God, I will do something good. I don't know what it is, but I promise you, I will do something really good." So the power of prayer. Really strong, really strong.
And you were 9 years old at the time?
Yeah, I believe I was 9. It was either 8 or 9.
Eight or nine.
I was. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And yeah. So God spared you for today. Isn't that beautiful? And so your journey through your childhood wasn't always easy, as you write about mama trauma. And so coming up on Mother's Day. And so working through your book, you forgive your mother. And what would you say for the listening audience that is going through something similar? And since we're approaching Mother's Day and we want restoration, why don't you talk about that, if you could, and give us
a restoration.
Tools.
Okay. Great. Mother's Day, it took me many, many years to heal from my mother. My mother had a very bad menopause one day, and I was 12, and she hurt me physically. Basically, just quickly put my head through the wall, and she tried to kill me. At that moment, I was 12. I made decisions at that time that I was no good. I deserve to be punished, hurt, and even killed, and unlovable. If your mother doesn't love you, nobody's going to love you. That's, what went on in my 12-year-old brain. So it locked in the patterns of believing that I was no good, and I kept attracting people and things that would hurt me, and I attracted a few people who tried to kill me. So how did I heal from this? Because I kept attracting negative situations, and it took many years for me to heal. I went to Al-Anon. I went to ACA, Adult Children of Alcoholics. I went to a lot of 12 steps. I kept praying to God, "Please help me forgive," because I knew that forgiveness was the biggest thing, but I couldn't forgive her. I've been wanting to forgive her since I was 21 years old, when I realized that holding the grudge and the anger and the hatred was really hurting me more than her. But it took a lot of work, because I went through 31 different therapists, psychologists.
Wow.
And now that's a lot of therapy, let me tell you. a lot of therapy. And unfortunately, a lot of them just didn't know what to do with it because I had severe abuse and then I was raped and then I had lots of stuff that happened to me. So they didn't know what quite to do, a lot, the average one. So I had a few good ones, but they all tried their best. But what happened was they kept having me tell the story over and over again. That did not help. I used to say, can I get off the story? I want to find solutions. So in the last 20 years, there have been some really breakthrough techniques and technologies to help actually heal from this, working with the subconscious mind, working with going into, finding actually the issue and then bringing it up with prayer. I always do prayer and asking God to help me forgive. And there are processes that I found that really helped me do it much easier. I mean, radical forgiveness, Colin Tippins, I worked with him. I did many, many workshops. Which is really what I had to like get it out. I used to like beat the bed by myself. If I felt an anger attack, I would go in there and I'd start yelling. I would I had all the therapists gave me many different techniques and technologies to do, and they all helped to some degree. But what the biggest part that really helped is when I was in menopause, and all of a sudden I had a chemical imbalance happen inside of me. Now, I never hurt my children, thank you, God, because I went to all lengths to make sure I didn't do that. But when all of a sudden I have this horrible chemical reaction inside me which made me feel violent, it was like the violence that my mother felt. And then I told my husband at the time, take the children out. I'm going through some kind of weird thing. Take them out. And so I would feel like Dr. Heckel Dr. Heckel and Hyde. I would go in a room and I would do all the things, yell, cry, and it would pass after about 4 hours. But I called my mother after my first episode, and I said, Mom, oh, my God, I understand now what happened to you. It was a chemical imbalance. It was hormonal. I mean, I immediately went to the doctor and went on bioidentical hormones. I was 39 years old when this happened. But that awareness was really important. And then I changed my lifestyle. I stopped eating sugar. I exercised more. I really became really extremely health conscious because I realized that what I eat is what helps the brain chemistry stay calm or, go out of balance. So I really took responsibility for my life in a big way when I realized that what the violence my mother had was still in me. And that violence was handed from her mother. And the mother before that, it was generational. And I decided the violence, the abuse stops here. No, I will not do this to my children. And I did not. Thank you, God.
So did that open a door to talk with your mom about forgiveness at that time when you told her you knew what she went through?
Oh, yes. That helped my heart heal. That helped my heart. You could do all the therapy in your head that you want. But when I had the experience of compassion, real compassion, of what it was like for my mother, then I had the experience of real forgiveness. Understanding that she did the very best she could at the time. She was not balanced. She was out of her mind. And I know that experience because I've experienced that. By the grace of God, I did it differently. My mother drank. That did not help her chemistry in her brain. In fact, at that time, at 38, 39, I went straight to God. I went to Agape, and I decided to become a spiritual practitioner. That's when I started doing Reiki and started healing. I said, I've got to heal on all levels, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically.
That's incredible. And I believe God allows us to feel other people's pain so that he can use us further. It gives you true compassion versus textbook.
Totally and completely. There, I in my USM studies for spiritual psychology, I learned a technique, and along with that, I mixed in some other techniques. When I work with my clients, I have them go through this experience, but I have them experience what their mother or father experienced. There's a special technique that I walk and talk them through that they can do. They don't have to do this. If the mother or father isn't around, they can still heal from it on a deep and powerful level.
Absolutely. I know going back to the scene of an incident, sometimes – Counselors will take you back, or you'll walk through it to relive it. And if you're not with the right person, it can actually hurt you more. And so I've seen a lot of people over the years tell me counseling doesn't work. And so that's why what you're doing and what I'm doing and some of us that are on the same page is actually, you know, letting God into the situation using the tools that we have been given in the world. Because sometimes that bottle of medicine is just going to mask everything. And so people can get medicine for anxiety, but they still have to deal with themselves every time they look in the mirror, wake up, or recover from their drunken stupor.
Yeah, the problem is it does mask it, and it also disconnects them from that connection that they would feel in their heart most of the time. It's when I did alcohol and drugs, I kept wanting to feel one with God, but it was the wrong path. You know, that oneness I wanted to feel was the path, what I call, to the left. And the path to the right for me is meditation and prayer and service. And that, and nature. Really, nature is one of the most powerful ways to heal as well. A lot of my clients don't necessarily, they're not Christians or they don't believe in the conventional God. And so I work with people with divine intelligence. And I tell them that, you know, okay, just imagine the one who created all this stuff. Doesn't have to be the one that the churches or the Bible said. It's the one that gives you the breath when you're born and the one that takes the breath when you leave. So just, you know, imagine that, you know, who's created this beautiful planet. And I get people in to really connect to whatever they can, you know, touch base with. I believe we all have that divine spark. And there are practices that actually fan that divine spark so that the more that we walk in nature and connect to spirit. You know, American Indians call, you know, great oneness, great spirit. The more that we connect to God, Buddha, Allah, Jesus, the more we connect to a divine part of us that's in the center of our heart, we actually fan that fire. It gets bigger and bigger, so then we are more light than the other. We are more light than the other because we have the animal nature, and we have the divine. And where we place our attention and focus, that's what's going to grow.
Yeah, we're going to take a station break here, and we'll come back in just a minute. You're listening to Susan Shengazar with The Advocate. We'll be back with you shortly.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am The Advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gift, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome back to The Advocate. I wanted to read something that's a quote that's on one of our websites. It says, "You know my name, not my story. You've heard what I've done, not where I've been. If you were in my shoes, you'd fall at the first step." Don't you think, Dale, that is so true. Some of us that are in this position we're in today, where we're on the front lines for God's people, we've written stories, is because we've gone through the fire and we've come out unharmed, so that we could show others how to do it too. And that's exactly what you've done with your life. And so I want you to share more about your path that God has taken you on, and what you were willing to do to be that person for God. You talked about how you were on the Oprah show because of a journey you were on seeking to be refined for God, and you were even willing to have your eyes cut with a knife to get out what needed to get out. And so can you share with us about that? Or do you want to share about that story?
Oh, yeah, I'll be glad to. I'd like to just share a little bit about writing that book, because that book was like one of the main things. And the reason I went to Brazil was for me to have the strength to finish that book. My book,
okay.
Mama Trauma, if it's not one thing, it's your mother. I was that little voice inside that becomes louder if I don't listen to it, told me one day, you need to write a book. And I really did not want to write a book. And I surrendered, because I have a part of me that really is a rebel. But I surrendered. I started writing the book. And then one day, I'm writing the book, and it's so painful I'm on the floor, because the stories were really hard. My book has 31 stories to it and 33 ways to heal. And I was ready to burn the book, and I was yelling at God. I actually was being disrespectful. I said, okay, God, if this book is supposed to come out, you have to tell me a strong sign. If I'm supposed to finish writing this, you tell me a strong sign. Otherwise, I'm writing it. And I yelled. And all of a sudden, a dove, not a white one, but like a gray, motley-looking dove, shows up, and he looks right in my eyes. And he feathers up, and he gets all fluffy, and he starts going, coo-coo-coo-coo. And then I looked at him and says, if you're from the Holy Spirit, stay. If not, I command you, get lost now. And it stayed. So I said, okay, I'll write the book. So when I really committed to writing the book, I said, God, you have to make me strong to get this out, because I don't feel so strong. So I was told through my meditations and stuff that I need to go to Brazil. Now, I've gone 3 times. The last time was a year ago today. And that time, I've experienced really powerful healings every time. The second time I went, I was rebelling, and what was told to me, I had to surrender and be a healer. So I said, okay, great. So then I've been on that path. So this last time I went, I'm in the group, and there are 1,000 people there, and John of God comes out. Now, John of God is a man who has devoted his life over 50 years for healing. He's a medium. And in Brazil, it's like works with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and many, many others on the other side, doctors on the other side that work through him. In America, it's a little hard to understand this, but he works with entities, the highest form of entities connected to healing and love. And so when the entities come into him, sometimes he does physical surgeries. Usually he'll pull somebody out of the audience, out of the group, 1,000 people. This time he said, and he does this rarely, once every 6 weeks or so, and I happened to be there that day, anybody who wants a physical healing, come up to the stage, get on stage. And all of a sudden my body started, I was being pulled like a magnet. And I've seen physical healings before, and there's no way in the world Dale wanted that done. So it's like something's pulling me strong. And I'm fighting, and I'm getting up on stage. I'm saying inside, no, 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 we're not doing this. Why are we doing it? And so this inner voice was saying, you are going to get a physical surgery. And I'm having like a little argument saying, oh, no, I don't like blood. I don't want to be cut. No. And the voice said, do you want to be healed? I said, yes. So I surrendered. So as I'm up there, I'm really crying. Like I was the only hysterical one there. Other people are calm, but I'm absolutely hysterical. And they say, put your hands where you want a healing. So I'm thinking it was my head, oh, my heart. They always tell me my heart needs to be more open. So I put my hands on my heart, and that was with my head. And all of a sudden I realized, oh, no, they're going to cut my heart open. I'll die for sure. So I put my hands down. I said, okay, Spirit, where am I supposed to put my hands? And then they flew up to my eye. And so, all right, God, so my hands are on my eyes. Why am I here? What is the intention? And it said, so you ask right now with your heart and soul to scrape away the illusion and see the reality. See the reality and no more illusions. See the truth. See as God sees. Ask to see the truth as God sees, so you can be a more clear channel to help others heal. And I said, okay, God, if this is what you want, and my head was going crazy, I said, I'll go blind for you if this is what you want. This is very strange. So I surrendered. And at that time, I didn't know, but I did see Oprah's cameras. She was going to arrive the next day, and I did not know they were filming me. So they filmed me, and then I went into bed for 2 days to recover, and I did not see Oprah because I was in bed when she arrived. But the other day, everybody's calling saying, Dale, you're on Oprah. I go, oh, that's great. I'd always wanted to be on Oprah, but they were scraping my eye on Oprah. So that is the story. And since then, I have noticed that I've had more discernment, more clarity with my clients. I'm able to see more rightly. I'm able to see more from the heart. And my spiritual sight is more defined. And I always start my sessions with prayer, and I surrender to God the whole session anyway. But I'm able to see more clearly, and it's beautiful. So I was meant to be there.
Wow. And so you could see after he did this, or did you think you had gone blind?
No, for the first few days, I really couldn't see too straight, not for the first week. And then something strange happened. I would have white lightning in my eyes, like, you know, white lightning, like both eyes. And when I thought something that I wanted to do, you know, so white lightning would be there. I turn my head at night and white lightning would be there. It's strange. They worked on my right eye. And both eyes, I would get these white streaks of lightning. And it would only happen for a split second, but it happened like the first month or so, would happen like six times a day. And I thought, wow, that's kind of interesting. I didn't know what was happening, but I knew something strange was happening. Now, they only worked on my right eye, but I saw the lightning in both eyes. Now, this is a strange thing. I still just... when I just had the thought of doing something like, you know, going off my path about 6 months after I saw them, just the thought, you know, the left side was pulling me for a second. Then all of a sudden my eyes started going crazy. And that was after I stopped having the white light. And I said, okay, I got it. I'm not supposed to do that. So I was guided to just stay on the path, you know, of wholeness and, you know, real purity. So the thing is,
wow.
So it brought me to real clarity and being sober in all parts of my life, my thoughts, my actions, my feelings, you know, being very responsible.
Now, how many children were in your family, Dale?
Mom and Dad had five altogether. My father was widowed. He had two children when he met my mom, and mom had one. So I was the first of them together. And they really adored each other. They loved each other tremendously. So I was born to them, and then 4 years later, my sister came along. And,
so you're the first in your part of the family?
Of
first
them,
child?
Right. Right. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're like the leader in your bloodline for this generation.
With my mother and father, yes. And my younger sister is doing amazing work as well. She had quite a life. She ran away from home at 14. And she never was physically abused, but she watched it, and it affected her just as much, if not even more. Took her years to recover. She's doing great now.
Yeah, it does take years to recover, and especially if you don't have tools. I know that I was 30 when I first went to a counselor, and the one person I had talked to before age 30 told me that they couldn't help me, that it was too severe. And so that left me feeling like I was a freak, like it was incurable.
Right.
And so I kept it all inside, thinking I have to keep these feelings, they're mine, and that's what I got in life, and I'm going to be this way and feel this way. And so I turned my feelings outward and would help people to mask what was going on inside of me, where other people would drink and have a problem, and then they would know that their problem was there because they had hit bottom. I hit bottom with helping people and being the person that made everybody laugh and stuff. And so, and it was an extreme. My house was clean. I looked perfect, and everything was extreme. And so, finally, when I got counseling, I had to undo all of that, and that was painful. I want some of it back, actually.
Well, you know, the thing is, the journey is not a pain-free journey. However, one of my mentors, Reverend Michael Beckwith, said, pain pushes until we choose to be inspired, and then inspiration pulls us to our growth. Either way, we're going to grow. It's either through the pain that pushes us, you know, the whisper, the 2x4, or the Mack truck, or the whisper, that little inner voice that says, oh, you might want to meditate today. You might want to go play. And then that is by growing through inspiration. I think that pain is part of our growth, but there's no way to get around it. But there is, comes a time where it doesn't have to be so painful, I think. That's my experience.
You mean after you're finished, or for people now, you're saying
it depends
with what
on
you
where
have
they are
to offer?
On their journey. It depends on people where they are on their journey. If someone is ready to start healing their emotional body and their spiritual body and their mental body, and then, of course, the physical body, if they say, I'm ready, and they invest in themselves and they say, I'm going to do this, whether it's buying a book and starting to do the exercise, whether it's working with a counselor, whether it's going to groups, whether it's going to 12 steps, that means they're taking an action through growing, through being inspired. Right?
Right.
And if they don't, well, then they got to keep hitting bottom a little bit more, and that pain gets louder. And then all of a sudden, they're pushed into growing.
And I really believe that you're constantly growing. I feel like I have worked through a lot of things. But, you know, every once in a while, and I read probably hundreds of books. I'm always given a book to read, and I've yet to read yours. But you read something, and if it triggers some type of painful emotion, I realize that I still have a problem in that area. So it's good because it brings it to my attention, and then I work on it. And so I want people to know that you're constantly going to have a memory of your past. It's not going to erase your memory just because you worked through it, but it will help you place your memory into a positive instead of a negative. And because I say that, because I had a lot of bad things happen, and there is probably, you know, no good in sharing that unless I can say, it made me who I am today, and for that I'm thankful, because who I am today is the one who can be a nurse and take care of a person who comes in abused and know exactly what to say, because I was an abused person who didn't have anybody who was compassionate at the time I needed it. So God turns things around and uses it for his good. And so I believe that's why I'm here today, and I've accepted that assignment. And so I believe that in meeting you and meeting other women I've met in the same situation, like I said earlier, we're taking each other's hands and encircling the earth. And
I love that image. I love that.
It's our right to do that, and God gave us these hands to grab onto. So I gladly take the hand of another sister that is standing on the front lines. And it's like that threefold cord that can't be broken.
very strong. There's power in synergy. There's power in numbers. Wherever two or more are gathered in thy name, there's strength. So I agree 100% with what you say. And I also kind of like what Nietzsche said, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. However, we do go through certain things for reasons. If you say, why am I here? What's the purpose? A lot of people keep asking, why am I here? They're unclear about their purpose. I found my purpose to be to really awaken joy and help others. And to do that, we've got to look at our stuff and allow that onion to, you know, what, as you said, we have layers of stuff. There's still stuff
Absolutely.
That comes up for me, you know, and when it comes up, I surrender to the feeling. I feel it. I say, okay, what's the gift? What's the lesson? Let me learn it quickly. I ask God for help. And then I do the work that I, you know, do with others. And sometimes I need to call somebody and say, hey, pray with me right now. I need some help with this. I still have people help me. I think it's not a solo journey. We need each other.
Yeah, I find myself sometimes in a situation and I just say, really, God? What are we going to do this time? Why are you bringing me here? And, you know, God knows me inside and out. And so I just, you know, sometimes I want the assignment to be over with quick, and sometimes it takes a few years to get through the assignments I go through. But, you know, with good reason, it builds on a foundation, and I have a tough foundation, and I've been through many storms, and I'm on a foundation that is built on a rock, and so I like that about me. I'm grounded, and I've taken a lot of storms. It's like an old ship that has been at sea, but I did that to be who I am today. Not that I willingly went through the journey. If I had to do it over again, and God showed me up front what it would be, I don't know. In one of my books, I write about another mountain to climb, and I parallel going off a 350-foot plus cliff with a mission trip I took in Haiti, and I'll let people who want to hear the story buy the book. Amazing true story of two different instances that God uses, you know, 30 years later and brings back to surface for him to show he is in control. And that's the thing, is like you swimming in the ocean, you could have been eaten by that shark or had your leg eaten off, and that would have been a testimony, but God answered your prayer and you were willing to die, and you just kept swimming and didn't look back. And that's an armor bearer. You had your armor on and you were covered. And so just like getting your eye scraped, you're not blind. You went through that. And that's a woman of great faith. I admire that in you. I don't know if I could have laid there, honestly.
You know, thank you so much. Faith is the thing that has helped me through every part of my life. In 1971, I decided I had vision inside to find out who am I, and I decided to come out to California, leave New York, went out with a backpack and $35 in my boot, and that was it, one-way ticket. And I kept saying, I'm on a mission to find out who am I. I was 21 years old, and my mission was to have the faith that God's going to take care of me, because I kept saying over and over again, God takes care of the sparrow, God will take care of me. It's been my mantra my whole life. If God
That's
takes
beautiful.
Care of the sparrow, God will take care of me. And my life has shown up with miracles constantly throughout my life to show me that when we do well on faith, and we constantly, you know, we have choice every moment. Are we going to let the doubtful thoughts, the thoughts eat us? Or are we going to make the conscious choice? No, I'm choosing to have faith. I'm choosing to remember that God is love, that love is inside of me, that everything comes together for my highest and best good now and always. And I know that love always wins. Light is stronger than darkness. There's no dark switch. There's a light switch. There's no dark switch. But there's really light. So my belief is that I'm always taken care of, no matter what it looks like. And to live in gratitude, You know, there's an old Indian story, an old Indian chief, and he had scars on his face, and a young brave went up to him and said, "Why do you always, you know, look so peaceful? Well, I know you've gone through wounds, and, you know, you're not angry, you've lost so much, and why do you look so peaceful?" And the old Indian chief looked at him and he said, "I have two wolves inside of me. One is anger, doubt, fear, greed, envy, shame, violence. And the other wolf is love, peace, compassion, kindness, beauty." He said, "It depends on which wolf I feed." So I remember this. I told my girls this story early in life. "Which wolf are you feeding today, sweetheart?" It was really sweet. Then they go, "Oh, right, Mommy. Thank you."
Now, Dale, I want you to tell our listening audience how they can get a hold of you and what you have to offer as a healing practitioner.
Thank you. All right. Well, I have a free gift for everyone today. Would like to go on my homepage. My website is www.dale.bach.com. And when you go on my homepage, just scroll down to the center, and there is a download for free where you can actually download and put it on your iPod or just on your computer, and it's a prayer and a meditation. It's a centering prayer. So that is for free, anyone who would like to have that. And for those who want to buy my book, they on that same page, they can just opt on my website. They can opt on the button that says "Buy Dale's Book," and it brings you to Amazon, and you could just buy my book. I believe my book is $15. And when you do that, and then if you call me right after that, if you do that within the next day or two, then I will gift you a free discovery session for $97. That's one on, and you, that's for free. So that's a half hour, one-on-one with me. And what we discover in that time is we start with prayer, but what we discover is what kind of block that you might be having that's keeping you from moving forward in your life to be more successful, to have more joy, more peace, more harmony, and more freedom. You know, whether it's health, whether it's love relationships, whether it's your mother issue, you know, because the patterns keep showing up. Whatever it is, we will discover in that half hour what that is, and I will give you specific personal advice and empower you to have several different ways to help heal from that. And in my book, there's 33 different ways to heal, and they're really beautiful. I finished writing them when I was in Brazil, and that's where I wrote most of the healing modalities. And I was asking God to really channel them through me. So most of them came through me there. I hand wrote them. So that's what you get today if you choose to buy my book. Now, my phone number is 310-614-2414 if you'd like to call me. And then we could book a discovery session after you get the book. Or if you'd like to email me, it's Dale, D-A-L-E, at DaleBach, B-A-C-H, .com. So that's Dale at DaleBach.com. That's an email where you could request a discovery session. Or you can call me, 310-614-2414. So again, my website is www.dalebach.com. And then you just scroll down and receive your free download for the centering meditation prayer. And then you can also buy the book there and then get your free discovery session.
Thank you, Dale. And I wanted to offer to our listening audience, some of you may have never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. Some of you don't know how to call out to God, or you think that there is something hindering God from hearing your prayers. I want you to know it's so simple, and it's as easy as this. And if you have a Bible, you can turn to Romans 10:9-10. And I know it. I'll say it. And it's this easy. It's Romans 10:9-10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the word saved is to be made whole. So I want you to know that you can at any time say, God, I invite you into my life. I welcome you here. It's that easy. And for those of you who've never been in a church and are afraid to go to church, that's why we bring these things to you. There's a lot of things online. If you just are still stuck in your house and you have agoraphobia and you can't get out and you want to be delivered from it, get on your computer, start listening to shows, and start praying. And I am believing for you, if this is you who I'm speaking to, that you will be able to go out your door and you'll be able to meet people and have normal relationships. And so I'm calling that out right now because I believe God is sharing this with me. And so I'm just believing that you are going to be healed, and I'm speaking to you right now. And so I want you to call us back on the show and tell us your testimony when you are recovered from that, and I'm believing it will be quick and instant. And for those of you who are stuck in that relationship with your mother or your father that has been painful, like Dale's story, get her book, buy my book, look at the books from the people who've been on the shows. These books were written, and I'll tell you, it takes a lot of guts to write your story and share it with the world. But I know for myself and others, we're not ashamed. We are standing proud because we are armor bearers, and we stand proud with crowns on our heads because we accomplished the mission. We came through the fire so we'd be here today speaking about it so you who are listening can have something that's just similar to your instance to take home. And so I'd invite you, Dale, to close us out with prayer, and we will see the rest of you next week. And here we are. Dale, close us out with prayer.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Divine Intelligence, the God that has created this universe, I now know that I and the Father are one. It is the Father within that always doeth the work. We simply know that each and every person on this call has been blessed in remembering their oneness with their own divinity in their own hearts, that the spark of the divine has been awakened, that they are now realizing and remembering who they really are. They are not their body or mind or emotions. They are pure spirit, having a beautiful human experience. And on the path, I am knowing that any sense of fear, lack, doubt is now bound and pulled away from their body, mind, spirit, and sent back to the divine sun to be transformed back to light. For that's who and what we really are. We are the light. We are the love. Keep shining that light. Keep shining that love. Remember who you are. You are a divine emanation of the Most High. And where you sit and stand is truly holy ground. And for this and so much more, I know that you are awakening right now in joy. That peace that passes human understanding is the truth of who you really are. You allow yourself to revel in it, to surrender to it. That freedom is your birthright, and abundance, prosperity, health, and wealth. Relationships that have been severed, we are now knowing that wholeness is here now, for love is the only power in the universe. This is what we call forth. This is what we say yes to. And for this and so much more, we say, thank you, God. Thank you. I release this word to the law. The law always says yes to our love, peace, joy, beauty, grace, harmony, and freedom. And for this and so much more, we say, thank you, God. We allow it to be. And so it is. In the name of the Holy Spirit and the Christ, thank you, the indwelling Christ. Thank you, and so it is. Amen. So be it.
Amen. And so for those of you listening, all of us out there, we just thank you for supporting our show. Thank you for our sponsors and our wonderful producer, Maria Di Giovanni, who just is awesome to bring us all together. And I just thank you, God, for a wonderful week for all of you. And we will see you here next week, live at 5 every Thursday. I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the Advocate. See you next week.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.